Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Afternoon, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Hope you are having a good one out there. Happy Wednesday to you. Happy Wednesday edition of Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our partner in sports, Michael Comer, is here with us. Mike, how you doing?
How you doing, buddy? And don't worry, I did not bring back the Boz haircut.
You know, I was waiting. I was wondering, maybe New Year's. Maybe that's something we can get. We'll see what we can do.
There might have to be a couple semi-trucks of Busch Light laying around then for that to happen.
Absolutely. Well, that, most importantly, I'd want to get the okay from the one with the pants. From the girlfriend. I'd want to get the okay because I'm not even going that route.
I think she might be a little mad just because she loves my flowing golden curly locks.
Yep. Oh, I get it.
That's why I struggled dating for so long. It's jealous of my hair. Nope, can't have that guy.
I ignore
all my other problems.
Right on. No, I hear you. I hit my mid-30s and I couldn't afford a sports car, so I grew my hair out. That was my midlife crisis.
I get it.
We got a couple of places we want to start today. First off, the phone lines are wide open. Hit us in the number 715-424-2600. Got a couple of interesting things. Of course, the Bucks winning some gold. We are going to talk about my new favorite thing in college sport, all sports really. That's coming up. Touch on some high school sports as well, some local things, River Kings, all of that coming up.
Oh, yeah, we're Kings.
Yes. I want to first start out, though, thanking our friends at the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce and the Cool Teen Leadership Program. They were here today. In our studios, hanging out, a bunch of young minds getting a taste of radio and a feel for it. A big thank you to Pam and Beth and Laura and everybody, Melissa, doing such good work with these kids and showing them around and everything. And a special thank you to you, man. I know that it was not your average time to be able to come in, so I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah, I'm usually still asleep.
I'm glad it worked out, man, because I got out there for a couple of minutes and I saw those kids just locked into everything you were saying and creating, hopefully, new blood in this industry with it. Thank you for that.
Hey, just doing the best I can for something that I really like doing. So,
well, I was saying it to you in our pregame and everything, but I genuinely think there's a more like there's certain things I can offer and say, but there's a relatability I cannot offer that you can, and that goes gigantic. Representation matters in all levels.
Yeah, and you know it was easy. Because a lot of those young individuals out there, young men and young ladies out there, I know them or I've seen them in sports, and they've seen me, and they're we've seen this guy,
this
is why he's always at these guys. Okay. You know, and I mean, in this day and age, sometimes there's some skeptic, you know, wait a minute, why is, I understand it.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's been some weird stuff happening in the world, but, you know, they're, oh, I know that guy. Oh, that's what he does. Oh, hey, Mike, how you doing? And that's kind of cool. You can walk into a place and, hi, Mike, or hey, Mr. Comer, or whatever. And I'm like, don't call me Mr. Comer.
Mr.
You can say Comer. I'll answer to that. But most of my friends call me that anyways. But it's just cool. And I think that was that familiarity that hopefully helped. And hopefully someday they can, you know, take over for you when you retire, or if you retire, or me if I retire, or make it that far. I don't know, but it'd be just cool that next wave.
Yeah. And one of the things that feels good about it is even long after you and I are gone, Pam will still be here. Pam will still be holding the fort down at everything. I don't know that she'll ever leave. And we love her for that. We appreciate her so much for that.
I don't think anyone wants her to leave. That's
no,
for sure.
No.
This place would fall apart. No offense to anybody here.
Absolutely.
But this place would fall apart.
100%. And it's in my contract that I'm only working as long as she is. No.
I think I should do that too.
We appreciate you, Pam. Yes. Appreciate you. Get home safe. Have a good night, Pam. We got to talk about the NBA Cup, the Emirates Cup, the Milwaukee Bucks winning it, and how they won it. Now, right out the gate, I got two things I want to say. First off, that you don't have to take this seriously. The players do.
Yes.
And that's all that matters, really. The fans matter. People matter. The NBA ratings matter. That's for darn sure. But what I think the thing that I think, a couple of things to think about with this is, I brought it up on Monday with Randy. It reminds me so much, this cup reminds me of like the Maui Invitational and things like that.
Yes.
And those are cool to me. I love those things. Why wouldn't I love it in the NBA game? But I also think there's another part of this that I have not heard anybody mentioning that I think is really important. we talk about load management. We talk about players getting hurt, and by the time the playoffs come around, half of our stars are gone. And with this cup, we get everybody, I mean, for the most part, at full strength. Oklahoma City was missing Chet Holmgren, so even they were banged up. But the idea that we get to see these guys playing for something, regardless of how important it is to you, we get to see them at full health fighting for something mid-season, that's kind of cool. We're not going to get that in the playoffs. No matter what we know, there's going to be 4 to 5 superstars out in the playoffs. And during the playoffs even. Right now, they're healthy. Right now, we actually get to see them fighting for something that is worth holding up. This is a cool thing. It's a kind of interesting thing. These guys give everything to these sports, and it shows when they're playing for something. I think the most important part is to see what Dame Lillard was saying afterwards.
Yeah.
The guys that don't make the $1 million every day, every game or every 5 minutes or anything like that. For those guys, that paycheck is generation difference. That's generational difference, the kind of money they made.
Yeah.
So when you see that team beat what a lot of people are crowning as one the best young team in basketball in Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah.
They're not on the Boston Celtics level yet or anything. I think everybody, kind of looks at them, but they also look at them as, well, that's the up-and-coming team. That's the team that everybody, if you're going to bet on the next couple of years to make a good playoff run or something, you can count on that team to do it. And Milwaukee showed not just what it's like to win a championship, but to win it with defense, to shut them down. They were in their head. They shut them down. You had guys you never heard of jumping out of the sky and pulling the ball out of the air. It was fun to watch, man. And I think the cool thing that you have here that you rarely see with a super team, like with Dame and Giannis and everything, you have Giannis, who has won, but is hungry, got an appetite. And then you got Dame Lillard, who is starving. He's starving. Did you see him holding that gold?
Yep, he didn't want to let it go.
Tell me that didn't mean something. Tell me that cup doesn't mean something. This is kind of cool. I don't know why. I understand, like, the talking heads, because they're getting paid to talk, and you don't get paid, you don't get clicks for saying you like something. You only get clicks for when you don't. So I don't expect any different from any of the talking heads on the Mouse Network or anything.
No one's going to give the Bucks credit.
Absolutely.
Because it's not Boston, and it's not the Lakers.
Yeah,
you know, that's just as simple as it's going
to
be.
How they're hanging on to the Knicks for all God's help and everything. Or to win just a playoff series.
Or the fighting Popoviches. That haven't been relevant. That's and I've always liked Coach Pop.
I do like Pop.
Hasn't been relevant in about 10 years.
They didn't just win this. They dominated it. They beat it. They did it with defense. They did it as a cohesive team.
Yes.
And we have no idea what tomorrow's going to look like. Enjoy today. Enjoy that win, Milwaukee. That was cool. That was a cool win.
And I mean, in part, my life, and I've said it, as much as I love sports and watch sports and care so much about sports, it's just sports.
Mm-hmm. Do you say sports?
Sports. Okay. Just want to make sure we're on the clear and up and up here. But you can't follow it all. And like I said, the NHL, I do like hockey. That's getting that out of the way. I wouldn't broadcast River Kings if I didn't like hockey, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So I'm watching that. Do I watch a lot of hockey regular season? Nope. Will I watch the outside classic stuff? Yeah, I'll watch that from time to time. Kind of something different.
Oh, yeah. I mean, love it.
When it comes to the Olympics, Winter Olympics, heck yeah, I'm watching that. And then when it comes to the battle for Lord Stanley's Cup, now I'm all over it. I'm watching every game. Now, I have not cared or given a good gosh darn about an NBA game in stupid December or January or February or March. Now, April, when they start going after it for the title, I'll start to care a little bit.
Yeah.
Not very much, but I'll care. It's just like baseball. I don't really care until October, late September, when some of the. But I also say we don't need 162 games to decide who's good or not, personally. It was just so cool to watch them win the Maloff Cup, because we decided that's what it was going to be this last week, or last time I was on the air with you. That's what we decided. And the Maloff Cup, and that's why I've called it. And I watched them win it last night down at Boone Saloon. And I said, yes, the Bucks won the Maloff Cup. What You got to listen to the show, guys. Yeah, you said you listen.
Come on.
And then, you know, I explained it, and everyone laughed and laughed and laughed and had a good time.
I did text my brother right away my ring size. I don't know if they have that. I'm excited to see where the team's going to go for the rest of the season.
Me too.
Hopefully they stay healthy. They did this as well, by the way, with their Batman, their Robin, but without their Nightwing. They did not have Chris Middleton. They did not have that third part of that.
Yeah,
that
was pretty impressive. He was one that was out. You said that.
Yeah, that was impressive. It's just an impressive win.
And that makes you wonder
how it was a regular season win.
How good are they going to be? And then when all the chips fall and the final records are here back coming down the road in 3 months going into April, that we can sit back and say, well, the Bucks have this record. They're not that good. They had a horrible start. They're a totally different, and I'll even say this now, for than a month and a half ago, the Bucks are a totally different team now.
Yeah.
And a way better team than what they were when they started.
And I'm the last one, and it makes no darn sense, and I completely own it, but I don't believe in Boston. I don't care that they won.
Well, that's
that's not a team that I would bet on. That's not a team I believe in.
That's kind of how I felt for a while about Detroit and football, but I get your point.
Yeah,
and I'm not being critical of you, just like you're not being critical of me.
No,
it's just one of those things. We see something and the old Lee Corso, not so fast, my friend.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Michael, I want to get to my favorite thing in sports right now. There is a trend going on right now of college coaches giving money back. Money story here. Florida State coach Mike Norvell, it started with him. He gave $4.5 million back of his salary to help fund Florida State's revenue share pool. There's been a handful of other people that have done this since. Mike Gundy in Oklahoma State, and a couple of other ones. Only about three or four. But more will
come.
It's a start, right.
And you know what? Nothing against Norvell. Because it was either Mike or it was his brother Jay that was a coach at Oklahoma for a real long time.
Jay. Yeah.
It was Jay, yes. Yeah. Okay. I knew Norvell, so I couldn't. Yeah. I knew Jay, and I was like, or Mike too? I don't know. Mm. Anyways, you know, for him, for the year he had, with the way that they were predicted to be at the starting, he better give some of that money back.
Right.
You know, and same with Mike Gundy, because the way they're predicted to run away with the Big 12, and they won three games. Okay, Mr. Gundy, I you know what? Gundy's smart enough to do it because he's a man. He's 50,
or
60 now. I don't know.
Yeah, he's up there now.
Yeah, he's not. He's not four. He's past 40.
Still got great hair though. Great hair.
Well, that mullet, dude. Yeah.
Good hair.
I don't care what nobody says. Mullets and the Boz. They both got to come back.
It works. If you can pull it off, man, more power to you.
A
mullet Boz. The Brian Bosworth could definitely pull that off. He did pull that off, I believe.
Yeah, that was actually his haircut. I think the Boz actually flowed into the mullet.
He had the spike, like the crew
flat
cut,
top,
the flat top with the mullet and the cuts in that. Like
yeah,
the
he layers, had the stairs.
The stairs.
Yeah, he had the stairs, and they were multicolored. There.
Bosworth had it down.
And you know what? He still looks like he could charge through that door, shoulders and all, and bring both our necks.
I loved hearing him talk about the Bo Jackson play. And the laughing and the way he's handled that and everything. Yeah. Like, that shows me when you can take a joke, when you can take a laugh at, you can laugh at yourself, any of that, you immediately get my respect.
Oh, me too.
Immediately. Anybody can do that, I respect.
I laugh at myself every time I look into a mirror that doesn't break, man.
You were talking about every day of my life. I hope to see this more with coaches and for a couple of reasons. Losing season, that's a good reason to do it. It would be kind of cool to see some coaches do this, even if they've had a winning season.
Yeah.
But the other part of this that I hope this starts, and let's keep in mind one major thing. Any state you're talking about, the highest paid state employee in that state is the head football coach of that college.
Probably. I wouldn't doubt it.
I've looked it up. I haven't looked it up in all 50 states, so I'm not sure about Hawaii and Alaska.
Alaska would be the question.
Yeah, that'd be the tough one.
Hawaii, I could see it.
But right here in Wisconsin or in Michigan, Illinois, any places we're talking about, the highest state paid employee is the head football coach of the university.
Wow.
I don't think it's a big deal for them to give up a couple of hundred mil, especially if it's going right into NIL.
Yep.
That's just smart business right there.
Yep.
It's no different than Patrick Mahomes taking a little bit less money so that they can sign a wide receiver or something
or
like
Tom
that.
Brady.
Yes, exactly.
Doesn't he give some of his money back to Texas Tech for that anyways?
Yeah. I'm going to say something a little unpopular, though, and something I don't even feel that comfortable saying, but I do feel like it needs to be noted, because I talk a lot about these coaches not just being good at X's and O's, but helping raise young men.
Yes, we talked about that.
If you are a kid and you sign, you're getting money to maybe go to a university, and you don't fill out the year, or you don't even go there, I feel like as a man, I'd want to give that money back. Now, I've also, and I'm saying this as somebody who has lived in poverty, come from poverty.
Yep, me too, man.
My whole life.
Me too.
I know what it's like to have nothing. I know what it's like to not have the heat on. I understand what it's like to have to pay for almost everything. You know better with how to pay with food stamps than you do with something else. Yeah. I understand that life.
Yes.
And I'm still saying this because I think that if you were going to... If you're going to sign something, if you're going to agree to something, if you're going to handshake to something, it's got to mean something. Your word has to mean something in this life. Some things, everything changes and everything evolves. But if there is one thing that is same, that has been the same since we learned to handshake, it's your word has got to mean something. It no matter what the decade, no matter what the thing we're talking about, sports, life, whatever, your word's got to mean something. And if you're a young man and you're agreeing to something, it's got to mean something.
Yes.
And at the very least, you can give the money back. Like again, I don't like telling other people what to do with their own money, but I feel like if the coaches are going to start doing this, and we'll see if it sticks. I want to see this for a couple of years before I start expecting this from players. I'm not talking about today. I'm saying down the line eventually here, especially once maybe the NCAA actually wakes up and starts doing their job and actually controlling some of this stuff. What happened at Penn State is a joke. It's a joke for both sides. The backup quarterback for Penn State jumped into the transfer portal right before the playoffs here.
Okay. I missed that.
He's taking some heat for it, and the NCAA is taking some heat for it. Nobody looks good in this situation. I've never agreed with probably anything James Franklin said, but I kind of agree with him with this, where he came out and he was pretty honest about it. He's like, look, I get it. This kid grew up he would dress up for Halloween as a Penn State player. Like, he's from that area. This is the only place he's ever wanted to play, and he just entered the transfer portal because this is a business. And we forget that sometimes, but these are kids that as long as he's wanted to play for Penn State, even longer he's wanted to play football for a living. And you're going to have to find an opportunity because you have to make an opportunity sometimes in life. And one thing we saw with Joe Burrow, it pays off. It pays off big if it works out. So it's hard to blame these kids for jumping into the portal and looking for an opportunity when you don't. When you know they already told them, hey, you're backing up next year.
Yep.
The senior kid's coming back. You're backing up next year. We can talk well and good about how they should do this, they should do that. That's not us. That's not our kid. And if it was my kid, as much as I have loyalty to my school or anything like that, I don't care if it was NIU or Northwestern or anything. Look, where is Wyoming? Can you get in at Syracuse? Can you get at Tulane? Can you start somewhere? Maybe get some scouts to see you. Maybe get into the NFL and maybe get one of those paychecks. Because you've been spending since you were 7, 8 years old. You've been building for this, and now I'm going to tell you no. You should be loyal, even though your head football coach could leave any second.
You're a Penn State boy. That's the way it's always going to. Sorry with this NIL transfer portal, that's gone. If you are that loyal, in which, hey, you're a man of your word, shake your hand, because a lot of times that's what it is too. You know, it's like this fight song of Oklahoma, sooner born, sooner bred, and when I die, I'll be sooner dead. It doesn't matter. I'm bleeding crimson and cream. I bring that up because, like, the point, if he was going to be blue and white the whole way through, he's probably selling cars in the next 5. And there's nothing wrong with selling cars.
No,
but his dreams of playing football forever are gone.
He hasn't been training since he was 8 years old to play and sell cars.
Yes.
I mean, so this is the best opportunity for him. You go where the opportunities are. Radio, that is radio 101. Like, you graduate from radio, you don't just stay in state more times than not. Most of the program directors I've worked for have all worked in multiple states.
Yes.
That's just how life works. That's how jobs and business works and everything. The thing about it that gets so, I think, clouded, I think, is so many of us have grown up Well, loyalty is everything in sports, and loyalty and loyalty and loyalty.
There's no loyalty anymore in college because of the transfer, and there isn't anymore, unfortunately.
And this could be one of the last naive bones I have in me, and somebody who is, maybe the biggest thing in my family is loyalty. So I'm hanging on to the idea that maybe just a different type of loyalty comes out of this.
Yeah.
You do see it in players every once in a while, and it really stands out when you do. But if there was loyalty for Diego, the kid at Vanderbilt this year,
yes,
and he stayed at New Mexico or whatever, we don't get 90% of the storylines we had this year. And that 90%, 9% or 10% of the storylines we had.
UNLV.
You know,
I think it was UNLV.
That one. There's so many different things that don't happen without this. And I genuinely think the positive outweighs the negative. But the negative is only it's only rising up. It's only going to get higher if you don't take care of it. Honestly, as somebody who loves college football, I don't know, right up there in my top three of sports and everything, I'm asking the NCAA to wake up. Just do your job. Come up with some rules. Use the model of the NFL or whatever you got to do.
A 2-year minimum at a school something like that.
There's a free agent. There's a transfer portal in the NFL, too. It's called free agency.
Yes.
And it works in a window.
Yes.
So have a window. And have a window that that's not going on when your college football playoff is going on, maybe. I don't know, simple things. There's this thing called a calendar. And I feel like if you look at it, you might be able to figure this stuff out. If I could do this with my brain, you got to be able to do this, especially when you're paid to.
Yeah, and me being the misfit that I am, right? When you say, you know, from the wall, you know, to whatever, I was like, and that's where I was going to make the reference from the window to the wall, but nice. Well done. And that's where it'll stop. But but you're right. You have to. There has to be parameters here. It can't be. And we've talked about it, and I've said it many a time on the show, and even in private conversation. You should not be allowed to enter the transfer portal until after the bowl games.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, with as much as people were being seen about Alabama not being in, well, if we had 16 instead of 12, and then it was if we had 12 instead of 8, and it's doing exactly what I've said a million times. And that's the thing is now I love bowl games. Alma Bowl, Holiday Bowl, I love it all. And now it's... You're not seeing the whole Oklahoma team that I watched all year, like when they played Arizona last year.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma beat Arizona up and down the field, except for the fact that Jackson Arnold played, and he had a great game, minus 5 turnovers. But that was his first ever start in that bowl game, which, great, that helped him. And now he's in the transfer portal.
I always look for it's you're not even seeing close to the same team you saw in week 3, week 4 or anything.
And that's
like
hard
that.
As a fan to even have the loyalty to your team.
Yeah.
It's hard.
I look for storylines that people not everybody's covering and everything like that for this show.
Because absolutely.
Especially by the time we're here in the afternoon, a lot of, you know, the 24/7 news cycle and everything.
We've forgotten more than...
Yeah. One of the things I noticed that I thought was surprising, and again, just like a fifth, sixth headline, it looks like by all rights, and according to him himself, Cam Ward is going to start in their bowl game from Miami.
Good.
And isn't that, like, that's shocking.
Refreshing.
Now. Yeah, that's like refreshed, like, whoa, he's actually playing?
I'm about to slap myself. Did I really hear this?
And I think his response was just as funny, too, because the reporters have asked him like 4 or 5 times, and he keeps telling them, like, look, I said I was playing. So he's getting annoyed now. He's like, look, man, I told you I'm playing. Nobody believes him.
A man of his word. Yes.
Yep. I know a lot of these players, and I don't blame them, not wanting to play these bowl games because of health reasons and wanting to be in the NFL draft.
Right.
But tell me what Cam Ward just showed every NFL owner right now.
He's got guts.
Yeah.
He's dedicated. He's all in.
Yeah.
He's in the, I'll clean up the quote, but it's one I use. I don't do anything half butt. It's full butt or no butt.
Yeah.
There's no half. And that's the way he's doing. He's all in.
It looks like Shadur Sanders and Travis Hunter are playing in their bowl game as well. I give them credit for that. But it's just odd to me that that's the headline, or at least that's the headline that should be a headline, is that, you know, these players are actually playing, which we're so used to the opposite now, and how quickly we got used to that.
Yes.
How quickly we got used to them not playing. I got a stat of the show coming up for us. We're going to get into the NFL college schedules, get into our Burn the Boats game, got to talk some local stuff as well.
Yeah.
All that coming up for you right here on Play Playmakers, which is proudly brought to you by Quality Post Printing, getting your words out right here in Rapids. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Big thank you to Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring the hour. We appreciate Phil and the gang over there. Head on over to A Street for all your printing needs. We'll get into our schedule in a little bit and talk NFL and college schedules. Bowl games going on. A bowl game happening today.
Bowl games?
Yeah.
There was one last night, and I totally forgot about it. I feel like an idiot.
Yeah.
I love bowl games. What am I doing?
I know. I hear you, man. I used to know every single team, every single bowl game. I would just be locked into it. I'd have it on the paper out with all the schedule, everything.
James, it's on right now.
Yeah, it's on right now.
Change one of them screens.
We gotta flip it. So we got all that coming up. We want to get to, and we got a couple of other ones too. There's a lot of if we have time, there's a lot of quarterbacks losing their jobs this past week. Getting into that a little bit.
Kirk Kissin, his cousins, is gone.
He's gone. Did have a stat of our show for you though, that I thought was just too wild not to share. So Ashton Gentry, runner up to the Heisman, my pick for Heisman, but understand why he didn't win. Completely understand.
You don't get a vote?
No, not yet. That'd be a dream to
me. You got the Maloff Cup, so I don't.
I know.
I got a good story about that quick before we go. When I wrote for the newspaper, Mark Mazzola, he shows up one day, or I show up in the office to write a football game or whatever the heck I was writing, and he says, "Hey, do you want this?" They just sent it up from Columbia, Missouri, and I'm like, "What? What is this?" And you know those like little those picture things where you push the button and it flips.
Oh, they're awesome.
Yeah, that was one when they were trying to get Chase Daniel the Heisman. Mizzou Athletics sent one to the Daily Tribune thinking Mark Mazzola has a vote. And anybody that knows Mark knows he's an awesome dude and one of the best, even though he's out of the industry now. He just awesome guy. And he's like, "I don't want it. You want it?" And you know, my dad's from Missouri. I'm like, "Dude, dad will think this is so cool." And so I have it sitting at my mom's yet in a box somewhere or on a shelf in my old bedroom or whatever. And I got to find that, and I got to bring it in and show it to you because it's so cool. And that's you know, I got to see what that might be worth even.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, did he sniff the Heisman? He did up until the Big 12 title game when Oklahoma killed him.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, that is just one of the coolest,
unique pieces. It was a good year of college football,
too. Yes, it was. So anyways, that was about getting a vote. They sent one to the Daily Tribune. What?
Well, it's a great story, and it shows that how you and just you know you'd be surprised some of the people that have a vote for these things.
Yeah, like
the Baseball Hall of Fame and some of that. I think it's always cool to hear those.
It is.
Who has those votes and everything,
or mainly obviously who doesn't.
So if you took Ashton Gentry's yards after a hit, so his calculated his yards after being initially hit by a defender, he would and just took those yards, he would still be the second leading rusher in college football. Just his yards after contact.
That's insane.
I don't know if I've heard of a stat like that. They brought up something else that I hadn't even heard or thought of or anything going into the Heisman, that his stats, he's the first, like, he has better stats than the last couple of guys that have won the Heisman at running back. Like, that's crazy to me. He just happened to be in a year where the other guy was playing both sides of the ball in every snap.
Yeah.
Well, you can't argue with that.
Right.
Well, you can, but it's hard to argue.
Well, they did in 1998 with Charles Woodson and Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
I mean, they keep showing that 30 for 30 there on the I had to throw the Uper in there, but they keep showing that just before the Heisman last week, and I watched that episode like three times. I'm like, this is so good. And how did I miss this when it first came out?
That was one of my favorite years of college football that year.
Oh, so good.
That was such a great year. Charles Woodson was one of my favorite players. I loved watching him play. Absolutely, absolutely. And it looks like he could still go out there and knock out
Donald
guy.
Driver does too, man.
Get you seven or eight tackles, go out there, maybe even a couple of broke up passes. I think Woodson could still do that.
Yeah, I think so.
That Gentry stat was just amazing.
It is.
That's incredible. What a great season for that. As hard as it is for him to lose that Heisman, as much as I feel for him, this has done nothing but motivate him even more.
He might be the next big running back in the NFL.
If
God willing, no injuries, and he keeps interested, focused.
Just a quick note I want to throw out there. It's something to think about for everybody, and maybe if you're able to call in sometime, or if you have something by the end of the show. But as a sports show and as a weekly show, we have to do this year-end wrap-up kind of thing. I don't want to necessarily get into that kind of thing, but I do want to know what everybody's favorite sports moment was of the year, or you think the biggest moment was. I have to go with the Winter Olympics for me.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed the Winter Olympics. I really got into it this year, or Summer Olympics. Really enjoyed the Summer Olympics. I thought it was a lot of fun. And my favorite part of it was seeing how together we were as a country during an election year. I thought that was really cool. I felt like for that couple of weeks at least, none of us cared about politics.
Nope.
None of us cared about any of that. It was just, hey, you're an American,
that's
USA,
fair.
USA.
That's fair.
Just love that stuff, man. I eat it up. I eat, sleep, and breathe that stuff. Yep. And I love to see everybody on the same side. It was pretty cool.
For me, if I can interject.
Yeah,
I think it was the popularity that became in NCAA women's and WNBA.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's where I'm going to maybe backtrack it a little bit, is because you don't have the personalities in the NCAA women's.
Yeah.
Now you don't really hear anything about it, unless you're really searching for it.
Yeah,
now you're seeing more and more WNBA, which is great, and there's nothing wrong with that. I always say more wrestling, better wrestling, more basketball, better basketball, and men's and women's. Same across the board. That I feel that.
Yeah.
But now we're seeing it where there's Paige Buchers, I believe that's how you say her last name. I apologize. I should know it, but I say it wrong.
I should too. She's amazing.
But we know who she is. We know what she does, and she's phenomenal. And I mean, I feel bad because she was overshadowed a little bit by Caitlin Clark and the young lady from LSU.
Injuries have really slowed her down a bit.
Well, that
too was
a big thing last year. She was coming off a knee injury, and that's the thing is, NCAA women's basketball has kind of slipped back a little bit, and that really stinks in my opinion.
Yes.
And then the WNBA, it's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. But at the same time, it is getting more and more polarized because anybody can make a highlight tape, right?
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing all those hard fouls against Caitlin Clark. And you can say what you want about her. She's middle of the road for me. I don't like her. I don't dislike her. She's all right. But when, you know, the stat that I read was how many of those intentional flagrants or whatever were the Chicago team where her arch nemesis is now. And it's like, wait a minute. Come on.
Yeah.
Grow up a little bit here, girls. But at the same time, maybe that was a hit piece, you know, that someone had. I want to prove a point here.
I hear anybody
can make a video of it.
It has been really cool to see women's athletic get some notoriety.
That's
some
the
attention.
Point I was trying to make, man. That's a story for me.
That's been awesome. You're 100% with you. I may even change my vote because you're so right about that. And what I hope for that is the momentum stays. I hope it continues. To your point about women's basketball, I think Juju Watkins, and I'll admit to the audience, I had to double check her name just to make sure I got it right. But she is the next face of college basketball, I think. That could help, but you need more than that. And you're not going to get another Caitlin Clark. That's a unicorn.
No,
you're not going to get many of those players.
Yep.
So you do have to build on these universities. You have to build on one of the things that you have that the men's side doesn't, and these kids usually stay 3 or 4 years.
Yes.
So you can get to know them. They can, you know, they can be dominant and all that. Lean into your superpowers. Lean into your South Carolina, your Connecticut, some of those things. Let them be the boogeyman. Let them be the bad guy. Let them be the Patriots in these things. There are things that could still happen that could still keep it in the keep it relevant. I just were a little worried, like you are, that they're going to follow those names and not the sport.
And I think we've already seen it. I think we already have our answer. I think they are. Yeah.
With the NFL schedule, not a ton of great games on the schedule.
Well, I don't know, my friend.
Games that used to be good. Like I saw the Bills Patriots, and I'm like, no.
Saturday might have the best games all weekend, and that's Texans Chiefs, and then that's Steelers Ravens, and I think those two could be really, really good games on Saturday. You know what? Denver Chargers might even be really good on Thursday night.
Yeah.
But looking at that Sunday slate,
Vikings Seahawks might be good.
It might be good, and because I know it's the Bears, but Detroit going to Chicago this time of year. Finally, Detroit's not indoors. They got to play what's probably going to be crappy weather in Chicago.
I should be looking at this as next year and wanting a higher draft pick. I don't care. I don't want to see them go winless the rest of the season. I don't care who they get the win against. I just want to see Chicago win at least one more game. There, I said it. I don't know why.
Better not be Green Bay.
I just want to see them win one more game. But I don't expect them to. I'm not betting on them to. I do think that the Saints-Packers game is always an interesting one. They don't have Derek Carr. You've got a young quarterback in there in Ritter, who is still playing. I think some people might
Or was it Spencer Rattler?
Spencer Rattler,
an old Oklahoma boy.
Yeah, yes, Rattler. I meant to say Rattler. I actually like Rattler a lot.
I did too. I really never had a problem with him, but he kind of, when you have him or Kyler Murray or Hurts, I think. I'm sorry, Mr. Rattler. You're going to have to ride the pine a little bit.
But it's cool to see him getting this opportunity, and it could be one of those situations where you play yourself into a position and a nice contract and everything.
Right.
Everybody's looking for a young quarterback. Everybody's needing one. So even if it ain't the Saints, you'll have an opportunity there.
Right.
But it is interesting to see where a lot of these starting quarterbacks losing their jobs with all the money that's on the line for some of these things. It's starting to show you that the money it really doesn't matter. Like, if you didn't already get that, the fact that Kirk Cousins signed that contract and he's sitting the pine now, if you needed any more examples of, hey, the money really doesn't matter at the end of the day,
right.
It's a little silly for us to get bent out of shape about some of these contracts when, one, it ain't our money, and two, it doesn't matter. Like, it's gone anyway. It's practically monopoly money in some ways when it comes to these NFL teams and the way they're printing money. Mm-hmm. The college football schedule looks quite interesting because of the bowl season and all that, but there's as Michael and I were telling you, there's a bowl game going out right now.
Oh, yeah, and then Cal UNLV. I might want to watch that one.
Tulane in Florida could be good. Tulane's been a good team this season, but really it's about the college football playoff, and that kicking off this Saturday. You've got a couple of big ones, Friday. Indiana and Notre Dame, the Battle of Indiana.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm gonna be at a game watching it anyways. Yeah. But man, that's gonna be a good one. I don't think Notre Dame's. We and you both rail against Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Do I think Notre Dame beats Indiana? Yeah, I think they do.
Yeah.
But I think Indiana's got something to prove because no one's given them a chance. I mean, yeah, Notre Dame's a 7-point favorite, but I don't think anybody's getting Indiana a fair shake because has been a stark contrast. When Indiana played a good team, I'm sorry, boys.
Yeah.
You self-destructed.
And I was betting on them, and they still... Yep. Yeah.
And they self-destructed. I remember listening to that in my deer stand on open weekend. I'm like, come on.
But if they could win this game...
Then you say maybe...
Next year, the year at, because I don't see Indiana necessarily going on a deep run here, but right now for these teams like Indiana, SMU, some of these Clemson, some of these lower ranked teams, it's to me, and I know the coaches and the players aren't looking at it this way, but as fans and just as an outsider, if you can win one of these games in this, you build something recruiting wise, you build something for next year. It's a little bit like similar to winning your last bowl game of the season in your bowl game and how you can build that momentum in the next season with that. So I it'd be dang cool to see them win this. It'd be cool. I wholeheartedly admit that I can't look at Notre Dame with clear eyes.
Me either. I admit that.
I wholeheartedly. So they could be
same
a lot
with
better
Texas.
Than I
can't do it.
They could be a lot better than I realize.
Yeah.
But I don't. I like Boston, like some of these teams that have won and been winning a lot recently.
Yeah, they're good, but I don't
see it. I don't see it. They could go on and be a Final Four team, and I'll be shocked because I just don't see it.
Same with me and the Chiefs right now.
With SMU and Penn State playing each other on Saturday. Yeah, wild matchup.
Yeah, I mean, SMU going up to where it's probably going to be nasty.
Yeah.
Happy Valley is not very happy with the Wicked Witch of winter.
Thank you for mentioning that, man. I meant to say that for those that aren't, don't know and stuff, these are bowl games technically. Like Penn State game is an All-State. The All-State's sponsoring the first round. But these are home games. So Indiana traveling, not very far, but going to Notre Dame. You've got SMU traveling up to Penn State. Number 12, Clemson traveling to number 5, Texas. And to wrap up the weekend, number 9, Tennessee going to Ohio State. That is probably the game of the week to me, NFL or college. Tennessee, Ohio State, for some reason, that's just got my eyeballs, man.
Me too. Now, the other one that's going to have my eyeballs is Monday when you have a football game at 10 in the morning.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, 100%.
Well, I won't be able to see it. Well, I'll be able to see half of it before I go pilgriming to Green Bay for the Monday night game,
yeah.
which I'm looking at that weather and jumping back to that. Green Bay is a 14.5-point favorite, which I don't know how you get a half point. Yeah. I don't like that. I think that's too far away. Mm. But I've seen forecasts. There might be snow.
Oh, there's
and something. If that's the case, maybe that is too close of a game. But you have a Southern Dome team coming up.
Yeah.
Because that's going to play in a Green Bay's playbook, run the game, ground and pound. But Kamara, he's still there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. So
that's a good one too. Yeah. He's good.
Spencer Rattler just manage a game. We'll run and we'll take it from there.
I got to think that he's somewhere in the odds, whether it's Vegas or just the actual books or whatever. But Josh Jacobs should be getting more MVP talk. I'm not saying he deserves to win it,
right.
But he should be getting being talked in the conversation like other running backs, like Saquon Barkley or something
as
like that.
As much as Barkley and King Henry have mattered to their teams, I think Jacobs maybe means more to Green Bay.
Yeah, yeah.
And he might be Green Bay's greatest free agent signing since you know who I'm talking
absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. And going on how this goes for him this year and next year and how deep of a playoff run you make, that's a great conversation. That's because a really
he
good
might,
one, man.
And I'm not willing to pull the trigger on that
yet. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's a conversation that might be had that Green Bay, you might have done this 30 years apart. And that might be what puts Green Bay over the top.
I know it doesn't always work out this way,
right.
But to me, it's clear as day. That's the leader of this team.
Yes,
and Jordan Love and everybody else is cool with that,
yeah.
like because he's a vet.
Yep.
Like he's been in the league yep. for a while and everything. But I think a lot of us still look at him as a younger player.
I do.
I know I do too. But he's the vet of that team and the offense at least, and definitely showing it. He has got that team locked in. He's not a rah rah guy, but he's talking. And he is like stepping up to the plate. He's stepping up into the leadership role.
And it's not to say that Aaron Jones didn't.
It's just
that Aaron Jones is getting long of the tooth, and they run very similar. Even though I think Jacobs might be a little more violent runner, which Aaron Jones, he's been proven to be a little more glass and the costly turnovers from time to time. Knock on wood with Jacobs, but you've got to give some tips of the cap there to Jacobs.
Oh, yeah. And the idea, the way that Green Bay went after him in free agency and the way that he saw the opportunity. Like, both sides, not only a smart business decision, but it's turning out to be a really smart football decision.
Yes.
I know for me, the Burn the Boats game, Tennessee-Ohio State, Ryan Day's got to win that game. Got to win that game.
I mean, like we talked about a couple weeks ago with a Fickle, with my equation there with Fickle and Day, it may be a Fickle Day if they do not beat the Volunteers.
You know, and it might be the Penn State's not mediocre by any means.
They're better than average.
Yeah, and they bring in some beautiful recruits and all that, but that's not enough for them. And for them, they're in mediocrity. And I don't know that as great as Ryan Day's record is and everything, I don't know that if he loses this first round game coming out of the Michigan game, It gives you all the ammunition you need if you do want to fire him. I'm not saying they should.
Right.
I think that's a tough decision to make. But I think that it gives them all the ammunition they need if they do want to fire that gun.
Yep.
We will take our last timeout, I mean. I just realized we burned all of our timeouts. But that's all right. We only got 10 minutes left. We'll be okay. We'll make it to the end of the game. What could go wrong? No coaches ever, burned all their timeouts and regretted it. Oh, wait.
Or wait, maybe they kept a couple.
Oh, that's right. But
oh,
we'll be back. More show. Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers here at WFHR.
Out of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind.
Getting into the season around here. I can't help myself. I got to play it if I can.
Thank God it wasn't Sleigh Ride. I went off a little bit on the air when Seth had that as a bumper coming back. And it's a good song, but I played it 3 years in high school. My sister played it 3 years before I did. I don't want to hear the song ever again.
I don't blame you. There's certain songs I get like that, especially doing classic rock for 9 years. Like, there's certain songs I grew up hearing them, and then I played them for 9 years. Like, I'm done.
Yep.
I don't ever want to hear another Loverboy song the rest of my life.
Aww.
I'm good. Like, not to mention, you can't name your band Loverboy. You can't do that, man.
But if you're Queen, you can have a song called Good Old Fashioned Loverboy.
That's different, Mike. So, getting into our schedule real quick here in a second, but I did want to send a shout out to Quality Puds Printing again. A big thank you to them sponsoring this hour, giving us the opportunity to hang out and talk with all you guys. And a compliment to them, our friends at the River Kings dropped off their new media guide and everything.
We're going to have to pick one up.
Ooh, it's beautiful. And the work of Quality Plus stands out, man. It really does.
That's like, awesome.
I know something, even if I don't see the logo, I know they did something when I see it. A shout out to them. And thanks to the River Kings.
Yeah.
And I hope that the boys are rested because, man, they worked this weekend. Man, did they work.
Well, one could argue how much do they really work?
Yeah. Well, when you got 70 shots on goal
in one game,
somebody's working.
Well, it's the opposing goalie. That's or goalies.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? Credit to him. Like, I mean, the fact that he only gave up 12 goals in 70 shots is actually kind of impressive.
Well, that's funny. Because in that first game, the 12-1, Kritzman started. He got pulled.
I thought he got pulled.
For, I think it was Abreggio. Mm. And then Kritzman finished it. Well, and then the second game, Wiley, whatever it was, when they got beat 11-2, Wiley started and then Kritzman finished it.
Now, unfortunately, the River Kings only had 60 shots on goal in that game. So, you know, a little bit of a letdown.
I was thoroughly disappointed.
There are a few things I could say this about, but literally my whole life, my father, I am born, and one of the first things he's doing with me is sitting back watching a Blackhawks game. I've watched hockey my whole life. Right. I don't know I've ever seen two games back-to-back with 70 and 60 shots on goal.
Look back to when they played the Hudson Havoc earlier this year. That might have been close.
It was up there.
Pert near might be the same thing Saturday, Sunday over in Hudson.
Not only does this team have depth, not only does this team have a drive and a hunger after last year and how that ended, but they have got a
swagger.
Attitude this season, man. Yeah, they've got that. They've got something where they're playing. It's so different when you're the hunted. And how you handle that. And the teams that embrace that, the teams that want that, go ahead, put X on me. I can take it.
Yep.
Woo, that's a team you don't want to play. That's
absolutely
a team that's hungry and doesn't want it. And they are showing it right now. They're second in the division, right there. It could be just in first if they had just played more games.
I think that in points-wise, they are tied.
Yeah, they are tied, yes.
And it's just, man, I thought they were going to come away with it, but tip the cap to the Squatch.
Yeah.
They pulled it out last second when they had to, and boy, now that's they're in a dog fight here. And River Kings, they got to stack a bunch of wins. I mean, they've got four in a row. I'll venture to say six with Hudson, and I'll even venture to say eight in a row once Steele County after the first of the year. But then you got the big one coming up the weekend after, and you got the Squatch coming, and that's going to be
big games.
That's going to be huge.
Yeah. We wrap up the year with the Kings out of town. They will be taking on the Hudson Havoc to wrap up the season this weekend, 21st, 22nd. Will be, of course, Monday's edition of Playmakers. We'll give you the update on that. But certainly you can find it out right away by following the Kings on social media. Go to riverkingshockey.com. Follow the boys of winter as they build hockey up and down the river. Looking at our schedule, we will not be having high school basketball this Friday. We're not able to bring that game to you, unfortunately.
Sorry about that, guys.
We will be covering as much as humanly possible, not only wrapping up the year here, but going into next year, and looking forward to that, especially with the way our teams are playing around here locally. It's been a lot of fun.
There's some pretty darn good teams around here.
Sunday at noon, we've got Wisconsin men's basketball taking on Detroit Mercy. That's going to be a good one, and we will be here Friday for Playmakers. We're planning on being here Monday for Playmakers as well. Looking forward to talking sports with y'all. It's going to be a lot of fun. Wanted to also touch on one other thing before we wrap up. Wisconsin has brought in a couple of have lost a couple of players in the portal already.
Wide receivers, but they brought in quarterbacks. But the problem is, who do you throw to?
Wisconsin did land one of the bigger guys out there in the transfer portal in Western Michigan defensive lineman Corey Walker.
Yep.
Walker's a big boy. He is he looks like he was made to play Wisconsin football. This kid looks like a natural fit, and it looks like they are putting a lot of attention on that line, O and D line. They are putting a lot of attention on that.
They've got to get back to what it was, the big nasties down there. They've got to do something.
Wisconsin also is bringing in, as you mentioned there, Mike, via transfer portal, they are bringing in two other starting quarterbacks. Both of them looking pretty all right,
too. The one from San Diego State.
Yeah,
and I don't remember where the other one was.
Danny O'Neill from San Diego State, transferred 2,181 yards, 12 touchdowns last year, played well for the Aztecs, and a good fit for this team. I thought there was another one. Yeah, there was somebody else.
There had to have been.
Billy Edwards.
Okay.
Yep. Billy Edwards. Billy.
Billy.
See how these guys work out. I mean, honestly, as much as it's, oh, you lost your last year's starting quarterbacks. Nothing against them. I wish them well. Hope they have great seasons next year. What did you lose? You know, and not to be mean or anything about it, but honestly, I don't think that you're. It's not that hard to get an upgrade from what we had last year. And the same thing for the wide receivers, to be honest. I'd be more worried if we were losing running backs. But those guys are staying. Those guys ain't going anywhere. Yeah. And they're only coming in the next year with more momentum and more experience. I like their chances for next year. I like the way it looks.
And it depends on all these teams change. Because I, as cool as it is to see Indiana where they're at, I don't know if Indiana's going to be as good as they were this year next year.
Yeah. With the Green Bay New Orleans game and the way that that one is looking, you were talking about the weather and playing in that type of weather. I think that you, I'm not only do I bring on that cold and hope for that snow. I want to see how this team plays in that more and more, and let them get more and more used to it. Especially if it turns out they get a home playoff game. I don't think that's going to happen, but there's still chances for it to happen.
You need things to fall your way, and at that point, you would need. Man, if you get the six seed, I'll almost guarantee it doesn't. If you get the five seed,
not bad.
You never know.
Not bad. Michael, in case we don't talk, happy holidays, happy Christmas to you and yours. Have a great New Year's.
Yeah, you too, man. It's I'm always one that's Merry Christmas, but you know, I hope everyone enjoys this time of year. Be safe, have fun, love you guys, and see you soon.
Thanks for joining us, everybody.